Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace, these are God's gifts to you on this day and all days as we not only celebrate Easter still, but live out every day as Easter, where Christ is risen, is present, and gives us his gifts. Having said that, I'll start the sermon with this. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. It's Mother's Day. It's our daughter's 16th birthday, and the in-laws will be here by mid-afternoon, okay? For a full week. In fact, you'll see them next Sunday, and you can talk about how I maybe slandered them from the pulpit or something like that. Isn't that just like us, or isn't that just like me, to make everything about ourselves? I just did that. Please pray for me, for it's Mother's Day, it's my daughter's birthday, the in-laws, oh, poor David, right? As if it's all about me. Isn't it just like us to do that, to turn good things into bad, to turn gifts into burdens, to turn gospel into the demand of the law? Isn't that just like us? All of that I said, of course, was silly, yet hopefully a little bit illustrative as a way to introduce not only that idea of how we make so much about ourselves, woe is me, but also sort of prime us to head towards our text. Our text is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. It's not a long text. In fact, of many years of preaching, I don't think I've ever preached on this text for some reason or another. I'm not sure. But here it is before us. And our text begins and ends with words that nearly take all of the oxygen out of the room, at least at first hearing, rob our sight of the gift that they contain. These two bookends on the text, listen to them, if you would, with me, in verse 15 and then the beginning of 21. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And then it ends with the same bookend. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. After I got done reading, I said, this is the gospel of the Lord. And you all said, thanks be to God. And yet, as I read this to you and read these bookends, they seem a bit ominous. If you love me, and then it has words like keep and commandments. As I said, these are bookends that hold what is in the middle, and we will get to what is in the middle, but they feel impenetrable all on their own. Almost like a character in Tolkien saying, you shall not pass, right? I'm trying to get from here to there, but you hear words like this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And it sounds suspiciously like you shall not pass. I read them, and I read them with you, and it sounds very much like law to me, a law which I break. No admittance for the likes of me and you. Sorry, moms. Sorry, birthday girls. It's a great day, but no admittance for you either. In general, concerning the law, taking a step back, how about we say this? You and I should keep the law of God. We should keep the Ten Commandments. It would be good for you to know this law of God. It would be good for you to know this good law and to keep this good law. And we can say this as well, as you look left and right, back and forth in this room, and then even think outside this room, it would be good for your many neighbors if you knew the law of God and kept it well. It would be good and healthy and safe for them. In fact, in Martin Luther's Small Catechism, and we're going to touch on that a little bit later, Martin Luther starts his Small Catechism with the Ten Commandments. He really starts with the Ten Commandments, and we as Lutherans, if we major in anything, we major in the good news of Jesus Christ for sinners like you and me and all. But Luther starts in the Ten Commandments, and he takes them very seriously, and he never really gets to Christ in the Ten Commandments. He just shares the Ten Commandments, and he says things like, you should do these things. You should fear, love, and trust in God that you keep these commandments, that you honor God, that you listen to his name, that you call upon him, that you honor father and mother, that you don't kill, that you don't commit adultery. You should fear, love, and trust in God that you do all these things and avoid all of the nasty things. Luther's more than happy to say, hey, should we talk law? Let's talk law. It would be good for you. You should do it, and you should avoid those things. And yet, I don't. Luther gives it straight like that and doesn't stammer in the face of the law at all. But I stammer and stumble in the face of the law, for I know I should keep it, and I know I don't. I know it would be good for my life before God to keep it, and yet I don't. I know it would be good for my many neighbors, wife, children, members at church, if I were to keep the law of God. It would be healthy for you, and yet I don't. And I know also that I often deceive myself concerning this law. I go from maybe despairing to indeception. I say things like, I'm not so bad, maybe. I'm doing pretty good today or this week. But then I catch myself in the mirror of the law, and I see how grotesque I am. I don't know that you'll like hearing this or not, but last night we watched a UFC fight at our house. And a gentleman by the name of Sean Strickland won the heavyweight world championship. It was a split decision, but he won it. Two of the judges sided with him by a single point, and he won. Well, the TV was on for a while, and about a half an hour later, here came Sean Strickland out, and he was going to sit now with this bank of announcers there. And he sat down with them, and all of a sudden he said, whoa, I look terrible. There must have been a monitor facing back at them as they sat there. And for the first time since he finished the fight and won the fight, he was suddenly seeing himself. He said, I look terrible. Of course, he used some other words still, but he did look terrible. And when we look in the mirror of the law, we maybe look that grotesque and even more so. So let me say then, without stammering, let me say unabashedly, you should know God's commandments for your life, and you should keep them. You have no excuse to not know them. In fact, one of the readings Caleb said is, God overlooked their ignorance for a time, but not in the final judgment will he overlook ignorance. So you should know God's commandments for your life. You should keep them. You have no excuse not to. And yet you don't, and I don't, and we haven't. Knowing that and approaching today's text then becomes dangerous. Suddenly we get to John chapter 14. These people that we are with this mixed baggage that we have with the law of God, where we stammer in the face of it. Every once in a while we get honest in the face of the law and say we look grotesque and terrible. And we come up to this gospel reading from John chapter 14. And it suddenly sounds very, very dangerous to us, just like more law still, more law that we haven't kept and won't keep. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. I have not and do not keep all the Lord's commandments. I must not love him, then, we say to ourselves, in light of this text. And then maybe we join the Apostle Paul, who will save me then from this body of death. The hard part here today is that we approach this text as the sinners we are, but with sinners with a knack for turning everything around to be about us, just as I did at the very top of this sermon. We turn good things into bad. We turn gifts into burdens. We turn gospel into the demand of the law. Though we don't deserve it, I want you to know that John's words here, even these bookends, are better than you probably know. They're not more law for us to squirm in the midst of. So let's look at these words of John, beginning there in verse 15. First, you do love God, and you do so because he has first loved you in Christ Jesus. There's a clear pattern in the Bible. There's a clearer pattern still in the Gospel of John. We don't have time to look at all the chapters and verses, but that pattern goes like this. Parents love children, and children love their parents back. God the Father loves God the Son, and God the Son loves the Father back. And God the Father loves you through Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, and you love him back. That's the pattern. It starts from above, it comes to us, and then it goes back above again. Jesus is not giving the disciples a zinger here to prove their lack of love. If you love me, no, it sounds something more like this. If you love me, and you do, you will keep my commandments. But it's that second set of words that I think is just as scary for us, not just the if, but the you will keep my commandments. John does not say, and I'll have you note this, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. No, he uses a different verb here still. You will keep my commandments. John uses the word keep. This is the same word and the same language that the Virgin Mary used in Luke 2. It was announced to her that she would have a baby. It was announced to her what his name would be, what he would accomplish. And then it says this in Luke 2, and Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. Or to be closer to the language of our text today, Mary grabbed them all up and she kept them in her heart. Same verb there for treasured up as Jesus here in John 14. If you love me, you will treasure up all of my commandments. Oh, the sting has been taken out of the word keep. But what about the word commandments? Here too, we should also note how John uses this language of commandments. Most of the time, it is used by Jesus, of Jesus. He says things like this, God the Father has sent me, Jesus, with the command to save, the command to lay my life down. And then it is used by Jesus also of us, love each other as I love you. In a sense, Jesus says, my command looks like grace that comes to you, and now grace that flows through you to others. So let's look at all this again. It is true. You should keep the Ten Commandments, all of them. You should know them and know what it means to fear, love, and trust in God, and then what we owe each other. You should keep those Ten Commandments, and yet you haven't. And even this day, you haven't. And even this day, you won't. We struggle and stammer and stumble in the face of those Ten Commandments. We even see a picture of ourselves from time to time through them as if in a mirror, and what we see is grotesque. But it is also true that the bookends of our text today are not law, but actually gospel. If you love me, and you do, for I first love you, then you will keep my commandments. You will treasure up God's will for you through me, and God's will for your neighbor as well. If you love me, and you do. To that we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. But Lord, through Jesus the Lamb, through his perfect blood, your salvation has come to me, and I see that that salvation comes to me fully and perfectly. And I see that just as you have had mercy on me, I'm supposed to have mercy on others. Just as you have forgiven me, I am to forgive others. I receive much of your grace, and yet, Lord, I share too little of it with others. Even after hearing the gospel of the bookends of this text, we might say, but Lord, I struggle, and I'm small, and I'm weak, and I am a sinner. And that's when we find then what's inside these bookends. Verse 16, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Even here, God adds grace upon grace upon grace. Not only do we love him because he first loves us, not only does he send the Lamb of God who sheds his blood for the sins of the world, not only does Christ rise on Easter, and not only is he risen, always present, remaining with us with his gifts, but beyond that, he gives us a helper too. God the Father has made the way of salvation for us where there was no way through Jesus. And now God the Father and God the Son give us a helper, the Holy Spirit. Let's do something now nearing the end of the sermon that I've not done with you before. Grab a hymnal in the pew in front of you and turn with me to page 323. Turns out Luther's Small Catechism is printed out entirely for us here in these hymnals. Page 323. We find the third article of the Creed. We confess the Nicene Creed. This is the third article of the Apostles' Creed. And it's all about the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther says, "I'm going to share with the church that third article of the Creed." But then Martin Luther did what he always did in the catechism. He'd ask this question, "What does this mean, though?" And then he gave a beautiful explanation. So on page 323, under third article, under the word sanctification, start reading with me, please. "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." But then I'll ask this question. What does this mean? And we read together again. "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true." Yes, even after the gospel comes to us, we can give God a rebuttal. "But God, have you still seen me? I'm still weak and small, even after you shed the blood of your Son for me and called me your own and clean. Have you seen me, Lord, still? I'm not that polished. I'm not that cleaned up. I still look grotesque when I look in the mirror." And to get that, God says, "Receive now my helper, my Spirit, who calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps us in the church and will raise us up on the last day." To all of that, I say, happy Mother's Day for sure. Happy birthday, Eden. And happy Resurrection Day, church, this day and all days. We love God because he first loved and constantly loves us. Since we are his treasured children, he is our treasured God and Father, and we don't fear his words any longer. We treasure his words. We keep them close at hand, for they are life. We enjoy his grace, and we share his grace in a church where we are forgiven daily and forgive daily. And even then, when we feel so weak, we recall gift upon gift, grace upon grace. Today, especially, we recall the gift of the Holy Spirit, who calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, keeps us, and will raise us. And God's people say, Amen.